So what do you want for Christmas? Are you the person who starts working on a list at some point during August? Or perhaps you're someone who once said that you quite like something, and now you get that every year without fail. My grandmother gets always the same chocolates from a rather expensive department store in London. And then it's one a day until the box runs out. As we grow older, our appreciation of gifts is perhaps influenced by the gift giver, as well as what we actually unwrap on Christmas morning. Or in the light of the disrupted Christmases of the past couple of years, we desire the opportunity for real connection, of being with friends and loved ones in the same room, not just on FaceTime or Zoom. The gift at the heart of Christmas is wrapped, but not in pretty paper, but wrapped in cloths, a child. From the Bible readings we've already heard this afternoon, we've heard the promise of a light breaking into the darkness, the humble beginnings in Bethlehem, the obedient response of Mary, and of the child come to the aid of God's people. In Matthew 1:21, we hear the word give twice. She, that is Mary, will give birth to a son, and you, that is Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus. I wonder if you know what your name means, or if you have children, how you came to decide their name. I read recently of a whole section of the IKEA website, and you can look it up when you get home, which gives suggestions for baby names based on the names of the company's products over the last 70 years. Over 800 options, complete with a picture of the product and the year that it was first produced. The closest to Matthew is Matthias, which was a simple office chair from the 1990s. In that section of Matthew's Gospel, we're told that Jesus is to be given the name Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. And Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph and Mary don't have the option of looking through a baby names book or consulting the IKEA website. Rather, the angel gives clear instructions. This name is going to matter. The child promised, the child given, had a purpose to save, to bring healing and to bring comfort, but importantly, to save from sin. But what does that mean? We sometimes talk about sinning by breaking a diet, calling out mistreatment of the environment, or the sin bin in a rugby match. See, I was very good, I didn't mention football. That isn't exactly what Matthew's Gospel has in view, as it describes Jesus as one who will save from sin. For Matthew's Gospel, for the Bible, sin is disobedience to God's ways, of putting ourselves in the place of God and basing our lives on anything other than God. Our selfishness, our ignoring of God, takes us further away from the closeness of relationship that God wants with us. And this is a problem that we can't fix ourselves. Like trying to remove a stubborn stain from a piece of cloth and rubbing, the efforts of our cleaning only serves to spread the damage. So we need help. We need rescue. We need hope. We need a savior. The giver behind this gift is God. The child Jesus is promised years in advance, and after years of waiting, the time came. Jesus the baby is sent by God, not just to make a fleeting appearance, not just a Christmas special, but to live a life among us. this Christmas time, we're invited to discover or to rediscover the good news that Jesus, the child, is given as a gift to live a life of love and truth, to die a cruel death, to pay the penalty for our disobedience, and goes on to gloriously rise from the dead, defeating death and making a way for restored relationship with God. But imagine the scene. It's Christmas morning, and one of the younger members of my family has been given the job of distributing presents. But when they approach me, proffering a present for either Uncle Twig or Uncle Mush, don't ask. What happens if I refuse to receive it? What a confused look will come across their face. Or if I took the present off them, but didn't get any further than reading the label and placing it to one side, will they think I'm really quite strange, really quite forgetful? Or if I took the present, opened it, and immediately put it to one side, not to take care of it, but just to ignore it, would they return perhaps to a parent and say, "I don't think Uncle Mush likes his present"? The gift needs to be opened, received, enjoyed. This is the same with the gift of Jesus. The gift is given, we hear in the readings, but the gift needs to be received. All that is required from us initially is that admission that we need God's help, that we want relationship with Him, that we need saving. The gift is received, but needs to be opened. We need to explore this good news, to hear the voice of Jesus speak. Speak to us through the words of the Bible, in our hearts and minds by His Spirit. Here, as we gather week by week, we offer the opportunity to explore more. And we'll be running a course, Hope Explored, in January, to help you open the gift. You may want to pray with someone today if you're not a Christian or if you've wandered from faith and you feel that this Christmas gift, Jesus, is calling you back. We'd love to talk to you, to pray with you. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. The gift is received, is opened, but it needs to be enjoyed. I'm sure you've heard the Dogs Trust campaign used for over 40 years. A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. And quite simply, the same is true of Jesus. If you're someone who only ever comes to church at Christmas, then let me say you are very welcome. We are so pleased that you are here with us. But there is so much more. May you all receive, open, and enjoy the gift of Jesus, who came to save, who came to be Emmanuel, God with us. May your Christmas be Christ-filled.